It has now been 50 years since President Lyndon Johnson declared his war on poverty. There's a popular perception that President Johnson's war failed. Critics point to the official poverty rate and say it scarcely budged from 1964 to 2014, despite the $15 trillion the nation spent in those 50 years. But a University of Michigan economist challenges that view. She's co-author of a new paper that analyzes spending during the Johnson administration, and she believes it's wrong to call the war on poverty a failure. Martha Bailey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Why do you believe it's a mistake to call that war on poverty a failure?
So the first thing is, when the people think about the war on poverty, how they feel about it really depends on what they think it was. So a lot of people, when you say the war on poverty, they think about welfare or entitlements. But when Johnson declared the war on poverty, his agenda was really broad. It included things like preschool programs, one you might think of immediately as Head Start, mm-hmm. but it also included things like increased funding for elementary and secondary education, tuition subsidies for needy college students, job training and retraining programs. It also included things like community health centers, Medicare, Medicaid, the expansion of the food stamps program, and one of the least well-known programs, I think, of the war on poverty is the Civil Rights Act.
He actually ran that through, and as you pointed out, LBJ really made that Civil Rights Act a pocketbook issue, didn't he? He really encouraged desegregation, and he wasn't afraid to fight for it.
That's right. You know, a lot of our memory of that era is sort of legal in nature. We see these civil rights marches. We see a lot of, you know, the National Guard standing in front of universities or public schools. And that's part of the story. But the other part of the story is that the Johnson administration refused to fund agencies and organizations with federal dollars that refused to comply. And what this means is that a lot of public schools couldn't get the increased funding that Johnson made available under the Elementary and Secondary Education Act unless they took steps towards desegregation. Hospitals couldn't receive reimbursements through Medicare and Medicaid unless they took steps towards desegregating their wards. So this ends up being a really important economic incentive for organizations across the country to start steps towards desegregation. And so the good news there is that poverty rates among African Americans fell really rapidly after 1965, and that the gap is about half what it was in 1964 today. Now, the bad news is poverty rates are still high for African Americans,
yeah.
and they're much higher than they are for other groups, but there has been tremendous progress there.
I'm speaking with University of Michigan economist Martha Bailey, whose writings focus on LBJ and the war on poverty. And it seemed largely as a failure, but she makes some very good points that it is not a failure. And if you look at the nuances of this war on poverty, there were many successes. And as you point out in your paper, the Johnson administration and LBJ were focused on fighting poverty, not on politics.
Well, this is a really interesting thing. So we typically think about how do presidents get credit for things? How do we blame politicians? When do we give them credit for different successes? Now, starting in the late 1960s, people had already written off the war on poverty. It was a failure. That was something that was being said by critics on both the right and the left. On the left, the criticism was that these programs hadn't gone far enough, and on the right, it was that these programs cost a lot. This was federal overreach. And no one really thought they were doing much. Now, the interesting thing about this is that poverty rates actually dropped substantially during the Johnson administration. And I don't mean to say that Johnson caused this drop in poverty rates. They were actually declining before he took office as well.
All right.
But poverty rates fall by about 30% during his administration. And at the same time, people are claiming that this war on poverty was a tremendous failure. So one of the questions then is, why does this view about the war on poverty come to be? What really drove that?
Yes.
And the answer we come up with in the paper is that the Johnson administration is fighting poverty. He's putting the dollars where poverty is the highest and when there are more people who are non-white, because we know that African Americans had substantially higher poverty rates in this era. He's not sending the money through political channels.
I'm wondering your thoughts, Martha, on this war analogy. Is poverty something that we can beat?
Well, that's interesting. You know, there are lots of things not to like about that analogy. The idea is that we can end poverty for once and forever. An interesting thing is that if you actually look to see the relationship between GDP and poverty rates, And the way that rising GDP had lifted all boats between World War II and about the mid-1970, we would have eliminated poverty had this relationship stayed the same by about the mid-1980s. It would have been about zero in the United States. Now, something really interesting happens in the 1970s. The economy really starts to change. There's globalization, labor-saving technological change, reductions in union membership, all of these things. It's unclear exactly what drove this change, but somehow the growth in GDP stopped benefiting the least skilled workers. So what that means is that we get to the present, and really poverty rates haven't changed that much since the mid-1970s. And that's been sort of an explanation for why the war on poverty failed. But there's new evidence right now that looks to see how other measures of poverty, not just income measures of poverty, but measures of poverty that take account of a lot of the non-cash transfers, like food stamps and housing subsidies, other types of benefits that the federal government gives to reduce economic disadvantage, how those things have sort of improved the well-being of a lot of the poorest, America's poorest citizens. And according to those measures, in fact, those transfer programs have reduced poverty a great deal.
You know, interesting. You wrote an editorial in the HuffPost, Relearning the Lessons of the War on Poverty. And reading the comments after your piece, I have to get your thoughts on this. When you get a sense that there are people who view this war on poverty and subsequent efforts in the 1970s and since as redistribution, money was given, not a lot was demanded in return. How do you respond to those who believe that safety net programs have led to overdependency on a helping hand from the government?
Well, I think there are two responses. The first is that the war on poverty is much broader than the safety net programs, and that's really important. There were lots of human capital programs, health programs, things that we think help make the poor more able to participate as full economic citizens of this country. So you can think about a lot of these programs having very large productivity effects. So we think all of those things are good, not just in the short term, and a lot of those benefits aren't things that get picked up immediately in poverty rates. But the other type of thing, I think, that is a popular misconception is that safety net programs aren't just about handing out money. One of the things that Johnson pushes during his administration is that he wants to give people a hand up, not a handout. These programs were about increasing economic opportunity.
Martha, I'm wondering, do you see President Obama's focus on inequality as an extension of LBJ's war on poverty?
Well, that's interesting. I think there are lots of relationships there, and I think now one of the things we've been focused on is sort of poverty's become one of those words of the past. People don't want to talk about poverty as much, in large part because of a lot of the political backlash. Like I was telling you before, people began both on the right and the left to see the war on poverty as a failure, and that's been a reason for people to work aggressively to scale back its programs. Now, one of the things that I see happening now is there's a lot more focus on inequality on both sides of the aisle, and I think that may sort of a change in what we're calling this may enable more people to embrace this issue as one that's important.
Martha Bailey, University of Michigan economist. She and Nicholas Duquette are the co-authors of a paper entitled How Johnson Fought the War on Poverty, the Economics and Politics of Funding at the Office of Economic Opportunity. It's been a pleasure to talk with you, Martha. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Cindy.